this man. At first, all he could say, a man named Jesus. Opened my eyes. He told me to put clay on my eyes, and it worked. He's a prophet. He moved from Jesus being a man to a prophet. And then he said, I don't know everything about him, but one thing I do know, I was blind and now I can see. And Jesus says, do you believe in the Messiah? Do you believe in the Son of Man, the very Son of God? And he said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe? And Jesus said, you're talking to him. And he believed. And he worshiped him.
Welcome to Downtown Bible Class with Pastor Scott Gilchrist. Today we continue in chapter 9 of the Gospel of John. Pastor Scott brings part 2 of the message titled, The Blind See and the Seeing Are Blind. We invite you to follow along with us now as we get started.
Jesus is not merely a man. He is a man. God became man and dwelt among us. But he's more than a man. And just about everybody recognizes that. This guy did. He's a prophet. You know that 35 times in John alone, Jesus referred to himself as sent. I didn't even know I was born till I was about 3. You know what I mean? We're not aware of our background, but Jesus spoke authoritatively about why he came. I was sent. I was sent. The one who sent me. No, Jesus is more than a mere man. And this guy says he's a prophet. A prophet is one who speaks for God. A priest is one who represents man to God. A prophet is one who represents God to man. And he is certainly a prophet. And this is a step in the right direction. Maybe you today. Maybe you're sitting there thinking, well, I got to agree, he's more than a mere man. I mean, I've seen him. He's changing lives. I've never seen him open the eyes of a blind man born blind, but I saw these stories. Maybe you're a friend of someone who was baptized last week, and you're impacted by the change in their life. You're seeing that Jesus is changing lives in 2021. And it's kind of hard to figure it out, but you're saying, I think he's more than a man. I meet people all the time who won't just say he's a mere man. They'll say things like, well, he was enlightened one, or he was a prophet, or whatever. But, you know, it's a step in the right direction. But if you stop there, you're stopping too soon. Because he's so much more than one who just speaks for God. There have been a lot of prophets. Verse 18. The Jews, therefore, did not believe it of him, that he'd been blind and had received sight, until they called the parents of the very one who'd received his sight and questioned them, saying, is this your son who you say was born blind? How does he now see? They said, we can't believe this is actually happening. Let's get his parents. So they get the parents and they ask them the question, is this your son whom you say was born blind, how does he now see? Now stop and think about it. Some of you are parents. Your son was born blind. No hope for a job. Never learned to read and write. Condemned in that generation and throughout most of the world, even today. Even in our country, with all the technology, born blind, that's a tragedy. And if, you know, he can see? So they ask the parents, is this your son whom you say was born blind? What would you expect them to say? Well, let's read it. I don't have to speculate. Verse 20. His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. How he now sees, we do not know. Ask him. He's of age. He's 18. speak for himself. What in the world? Why did they answer this way? Why didn't they say, yeah, this is our boy, he can see? They knew that. You know, this is our son, and how he now can see, I don't know. Ask him. Why did they answer this way? Why didn't they rejoice and say, yes, hallelujah, this is our son who was born blind, and now he can see? What kind of perverse parents are these? The Bible doesn't pull any punches. But we don't have to guess again. Verse 22. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess him to be Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. For this reason, his parents said, he's of age, ask him. The fear of man. I'm increasingly convinced that the fear of man keeps more people from confessing Jesus Christ than maybe anything else. The fear of man. Tremendously powerful. What would my friends think? I might not be accepted in the in-group anymore. It's not cool to be a follower of Jesus. I might get kicked out of the club, so to speak. Or I might get literally kicked out of the club. At the country club, they don't go for that kind of, you know, keep that at arm's length. In the locker room, the guys don't like to hear that. Whatever it is, the fear of man, they knew. The Jews had already said, anybody confesses this Jesus to be the Christ, you're out, excommunicated, out of the synagogue. And in that day, to be out of the synagogue was to be out of society in that little world. And some of you are thinking about that as you think about what it would mean to really follow Jesus. It doesn't go over well in your industry. That means you'll be believing things that people are calling hate speech or whatever. I've met parents just like this. I remember distinctly a guy that I saw come to Christ and watched Christ transform his life. He was nervous. He was a mess. He had gotten into drugs and everything else. And he was, when I met him, he just met Christ, and he was still just like, you know, just, he was chain smoking cigarettes, but he wanted to talk about it as I talked to him about Jesus. And Jesus Christ transformed his life. And the next time I met with him in the following months, weeks and months, the nervousness, the anxiety, the guilt, the everything just melted away. It was visible. You could see he's a new person. And he was joyous. And at first his parents rejoiced from a distance. He wasn't living at home. But they were religionists. And they assumed he'd just found their religion. When they found out over a period of months that Jeff hadn't found religion, Jeff had met Jesus Christ, they started to push back. And he told me, Scott, I think my parents liked me better on drugs than following Jesus. I've never forgotten that. These parents, fear of man keeps them saying stuff like, oh yeah, he's our son, he's born blind, I don't know how. You ask him, he's of age. Well, verse 24. So a second time they came to the man, they called the man who'd been blind and said to him, give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner. They go back and try to bully this guy. Give glory to God. We know this man's a sinner. And they came back again and tried to bully the blind man who can now see. He therefore answered, verse 25, whether he's a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. What a great testimony. I don't know too much, but what I do know is I used to be blind, and now I can see. A friend of mine who experienced that when he came to Christ, that was his life verse for many, many years. I'm going to ask him. He's probably here today. I want to ask him if it's still his life verse. But, you know, he said, hey, I don't know much about this man, but I know one thing. He changed my life. You don't have to be a great theologian to bear witness for Jesus. You just need to know what happened in your life, and you can tell. And that's why I loved hearing those testimonies, because you're the authority on your life, aren't you? Nobody can argue. And you know what he's done for you. Well, verse 26, they said therefore to him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? Are you starting to wonder like I am? Why do they keep asking this? How many times are they going to badger him on this? Well, he was too. Look at verse 27. He answered them, I told you already, and you don't listen. Why do you want to hear it again? You don't want to become his disciples too, do you? Ooh, that's fighting words. I keep telling you, you don't seem to be listening. You don't want to be his followers too, do you? What? They reviled him and said, you are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we don't know where he's from. Well, the man answered, listen to this, verse 30. The man answered and said to them, well, here's an amazing thing. You don't know where he's from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God doesn't hear sinners, but if anyone is God-fearing and does his will, he hears him. Since the beginning of time, it has never been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. Well, this man, this blind man who can now see, is speaking with wisdom. They answered and said to him, you were born entirely in sins, and are you teaching us? And they put him out. See, they had the idea. A lot of people do. You can't know anything about this unless you've got a religious PhD. And in fact, the fact that you were born blind, you were born entirely in your sin, and you're going to teach us? And the implication is what? That we're not sinful. That we weren't born in our sin. We've got eyesight. Maybe you've been blessed. Most of us have been greatly blessed. Praise God, but it's not because we deserve it. Anyway, they put him out of the synagogue, just like they had promised to do. Jesus, verse 35, heard that they'd put him out, and finding him, let me stop there. Maybe the best thing that ever happened to this man was being put out of the religious establishment because Jesus came and found him. They put him out, and Jesus heard that he'd been put out and came and found him and said, do you believe in the Son of Man? By the way, the Son of Man was a very common. Jesus used that term about himself more than any other. It's a messianic term. It's from the Old Testament. The Son of Man was the promised one that God said he's going to send. And so he used that term about himself a lot. I think it's the most common self-designation that he had. But he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? The man answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? Jesus said to him, you've both seen him, and he is the one talking with you. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. This man, at first all he could say, a man named Jesus opened my eyes. He told me to put clay on my eyes and it worked. This man helped me. I'll say. He did more than that. He transformed him. He's a prophet. He moved from Jesus being a man to a prophet. And then he said, I don't know everything about him, but one thing I do know. I was blind and now I can see. And Jesus says, do you believe in the Messiah? Do you believe in the Son of Man, the very Son of God? And he said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe? And Jesus said, you're talking to him. And he believed and he worshiped him. When you come to know Jesus Christ for who he really is, you have a choice to make. You either pick up stones to stone him or you worship him. And this man made his choice. He worshiped him. In the Bible, you know, we in Portland, we might worship a tree or a crystal or a political philosophy or our girlfriend or you name it. We worship a lot of stupid things. But God says, don't you worship anyone but me. And when good men in the Bible, when people tried to worship them, they said, stop it. When an angel, when John fell to worship an angel, the angel says, don't do that. I'm just a creature. Worship God. And every time people worshiped Jesus, he didn't rebuke them. He didn't say, don't do that. Worship God. What did he do? Thomas fell before the risen Lord. He said, I'm not going to believe unless I put my finger in his scars. And Jesus said, here they are, Thomas. And Thomas said, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said, that's good, Thomas. You've seen and you've believed. Blessed are those people in Portland, Oregon in 2021 who've not seen and yet believed. Now, to worship Jesus Christ is the only proper response. And this man worshiped him. Maybe you're in that process this morning. Maybe even today, as I've spoken, you've thought he is more than a man. I mean, we date our calendars by him. He's a world changer. He's more than a mere man. Maybe he's a prophet. But then you've said, no, he's more than that. No prophet can open the eyes of a blind man. This man is of God, and he said point blank, I am the light of the world. I am the resurrection and the life. At the end of chapter 8, he just said simply, I am. And they knew, the Jews knew, when Moses met God in the wilderness, and he said, what's your name? He said, I am. The self-existent one. He never had a beginning. He never has an end. He is God. And this man fell and worshiped him. And I invite you to do the same today. But there's a very solemn close to this chapter. Let's read it. Jesus said, for judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see. Jesus went about healing blind people, opening blinded eyes. For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may become blind. Well, it was pointed enough that the Pharisees got it. Verse 40. Those of the Pharisees who were with him heard these things and said to him, we're not blind too, are we? Are you calling us blind? Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, we see, your sin remains. What's he saying here? They would not confess their blindness, their sin. We're not blind, are we? You're not trying to call us blind, as they were rejecting the light of the world. Yes, they were blind. Did you notice, if you were here last week, that every person confessed Jesus Christ? They didn't start by saying, I was a great guy, and Jesus found me worthy of none of that. I thought I had it together, but God brought me to a point where I was broken. I heard that word over and over because the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Today, if you're sitting here saying, I've got my life pretty figured out. I think I can do without him. You're still blind. The god of this world, Satan, loves to keep people in darkness, blinding them. But if today you've heard the voice of the Lord, don't harden your heart. Today, take your place as a blind one, a helpless one, a sinner. And you can find salvation. If therefore the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed, Jesus said. It's a wonderful thing to know Jesus Christ. And even right now, if today you say, I don't understand all of this, I'm not asking you, God isn't asking you to understand all of this. He's asking you to worship Him, to confess your blindness, your sin, your guilt, and find Him to be the one who opens blinded eyes, who forgives sinners, who died in your place so that you and I can have life. Oh Lord, I thank You that You sent Your Son into this world to save us. I thank You that He is indeed the light of the world, and I pray that no one would leave this field without responding to Your grace and mercy. You came to seek and to save the lost, and we rejoice this morning in this beautiful setting that You are reaching out and You've proclaimed Your word to us clearly. And I want to be like this man who believed and worshiped. Lord, I pray that everyone here would believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have Your word on it. Whoever calls on Him will not be disappointed. We praise You and thank You, Lord, for the privilege of this. And as we are here in this solemn moment, we praise You that You are not only the way maker, but the promise keeper. You promised eternal life to all who believe in You. You didn't just accomplish salvation by speaking it. You came and laid Your life down for us. You shed Your blood on our behalf so that we can go free, so that we can never see our sins again, so that we can go free from our guilt as far as the east is from the west. Oh, we praise You for this. And I thank You for the intimate fellowship, the communion that we have with You because of this. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Downtown Bible Class with Pastor Scott Gilchrist. Please stay with us. Pastor Scott will return in just a moment with a preview of our next broadcast. Today's program was titled, The Blind See and the Seeing Are Blind, a message from the 9th chapter of John's Gospel. If you missed a portion of the message heard on the program today, or you'd like to share it with a friend, head on over to downtownbible.org. A free copy of today's entire message is available there for you to stream or download at your convenience. If you don't have a church home in the area, we'd like to invite you to join our outdoor summer services. Throughout the month of July, we'll be holding our morning services in the great outdoors. Come join us on our spacious lawn each of these Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock. You can bring your own lawn chairs or blankets, or use one of the chairs provided at the service. We'd love to have you join us as we worship our Lord outdoors this summer. If you'd like more details, head on over to our website at swbible.org. We hope to see you there. We're continuing to see new growth in the Romans Project on the continent of Africa. Recently, we've added the countries of Guinea, Mali, Togo, and Ivory Coast to the ever-expanding outreach of the project. We'd like to invite you to learn more about this ministry or become a partner with us as we minister to pastors and church leaders throughout Africa. Just navigate over to romansproject.org or connect with us at facebook.com/romansproject. Now, before we end our time today, let's go to Pastor Scott for a preview of our next broadcast.
Would you be strong like a tree, firmly planted, not blown everywhere like a tumbling tumbleweed? No, that's how we are by nature. But when we feed on God's word, he creates a strength, he creates convictions, and we bear fruit for his glory. Look at the psalm, the very first psalm. He says, oh, how happy is the man, the woman, the boy, the girl, whoever you are. If you know Jesus, spend time in his word. And if you don't know Jesus, oh, let me encourage you to come to Jesus. Confess you're a sinner. Take him as your savior. You say, Scott, I don't understand it all. Neither do I. But I'll tell you what, he's never turned a repentant sinner down. He said, you come to me and I will certainly not cast you out. And you feed on his word.
Join us again next time when we'll be turning to Psalm 1. Pastor Scott brings a message titled, Abide in God's Word. Until then, may the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you.